In this episode of Midlife Mojo, I'll be concentrating on ideas and inspiration for you to rekindle and boost your motivation if it's been waning or has gone on a full-on hiatus. Welcome to Midlife Mojo, the podcast all about how to be fit and flourish in your 50s with me, your host with over 25 years of experience in the health, fitness, and wellness industry, Lisa Dupree. We'll be talking about all the things that support living life to the fullest. Let's dive in. Hello, hello. As I'm recording this, we are over 1 month into the new year. So how are you doing with your current goals? Have you been making slow, steady progress? Or has it been a bit of stop and go? Whatever it looks like for you, staying motivated and generating self-motivation is very important for consistency, since most goals and the outcomes that we're working toward take time and effort before you start to really see tangible results. I like to think about motivation as desire. Motivation is something that builds because we want to change, or we have a desire for something to be different. It could be a behavior, some thought patterns, feelings. It could be something in our physical environment that we want changed or something different in our relationships. So some days, motivation can be just really low. Or some days, it's not there at all. Some days, it's through the roof. And this is totally normal. One of the things that people who have successfully changed lifestyle-related habits and behaviors do that have helped them stay with it is that they stay consistent by self-motivating. Motivation exists on a continuum. So it goes from amotivated or not motivated to extrinsically motivated. And extrinsic motivation is being motivated by external factors or things outside of yourself. These are things like earning a reward or getting approval from others or avoiding punishment or some negative outcome. And you move from extrinsic to intrinsically motivated. And being intrinsically motivated means that you are doing something because it's personally rewarding to you. That meaning you get personal satisfaction or enjoyment. Being self-motivated ties into the intrinsic end of the continuum. So an example of this is a client I had, a woman in her 50s. She was a non-exerciser. And so for the last couple of years, her doctor had been saying that she really needed to exercise to stay healthy. She was amotivated, definitely not self-motivated to start exercising. She sought out health coaching support when her daughter told her that she was going to be a grandmother. She was really excited about this, and even more so because her daughter wanted her to come out and stay for several weeks when the baby was born to help out. Now, that was a strong external motivator. So she had moved from amotivated to an external motivator. And so working with her, she set a goal to be in better shape by walking and going to the gym. Now, in the beginning, she would only go to the gym or out for a walk when her friends dragged her there. And so she was still, firmly extrinsically motivated, not self-motivated. But after about 3 months or so, she realized that she liked the way exercise made her feel. She had more energy, she felt mood swings less intensely, and she was sleeping better. So now she goes to the gym on her own and is training for a 5K event. She has moved along that continuum and really tapped into some of these very strong intrinsic motivators and is more self-motivated. So building this intrinsic motivation is ideal for consistency and building positive lifestyle habits. However, it can be really helpful to have and look for extrinsic motivators to get started and start building habits. The key is that extrinsic motivation, even though it can help get you started, it is not as sustainable, and it usually isn't strong enough to where you're going to be able to have that as a motivator long term. So it's not as strong and sustainable as being intrinsically self-motivated. One thing that can help highlight intrinsic value and boost self-motivation is shifting from a predominantly head-centered approach to a more heart-centered approach. So let me go into that a little bit more. A head-centered approach involves thinking, logic, data. It's more process-oriented. So you can think of it as like the how for your goals, the planning and action steps to get to your goal. A heart-centered approach is more of an emotional or feeling approach. This approach calls forth purpose and aligns with your core values and priorities. A useful heart-centered strategy is to revisit your purpose and your why for the goal that you're working on by taking a few minutes every week or so to check in with yourself and reflect on the value of the outcome you're hoping for when you have accomplished your goal. One way to do this and kind of go a little bit deeper is to ask yourself three whys for your goal. It's a little bit like peeling an onion. You may get some tears a few layers in, and that's good. You've connected with something that has moved you. It's deeply important to you, and it's kind of connected with that emotion and that feeling. Here's how it works. So you sit down, you're thinking about your goal. What you really want to do is kind of focus again on that why. What is your why for this goal? What is the value and the meaning of the outcome that you're going to get? And so once you've kind of got that in mind, that's like the first why. Why do you want this goal? And what does accomplishing it give you? And then the next why is, why do you want that? So whatever your initial why is, ask yourself why again. Why do you want that? And then follow up with, what does that give you? And so you're going a little bit deeper. And then the third why do you want that? What does that give you? So it's asking yourself these same two questions. Why do you want that? And what does it give you? Thinking about what this goal, once you've achieved it, will allow you to do or feel, what it will allow you to be or have that you desire that you don't have now. It's a really simple but powerful way to kind of go a little bit deeper. It'll help you quickly get clear, get focused, and more motivated to continue to work on your goal and stay consistent with that goal. I have a free downloadable worksheet for you that walks through this exercise step by step. I'll put a link in the show notes if that's something that you'd like to have, if it would be helpful for you, if you want to give it a try. So when you've clarified your why, another thing to look at is reframing the tasks or actions for your goal, the things you have to do to reach your goal, from something that you have to do, like an obligation, to something that you get to do. The shift in thinking helps tap into intrinsic motivation. So doing something for its own sake and for your own purposes is going to always be more fulfilling and enjoyable and self-motivating than doing something for external rewards or incentives or to please others. So if the small tasks and choices that you need to do on a consistent basis to make progress on your goal are more enjoyable and something that you get to do that you can readily see value in, the more likely you are that you're going to take all those actions, make the time and effort to do those, and eventually be successful. Now, this is not to say that using that logical head-centered approach is not helpful. It totally is. Once you have kind of used some of these heart-centered approaches, you've revisited your why, you've reframed the have-to-dos to get-to-dos, following up with this head-centered approach is helpful to keep the actions that you need to take right at the top of your mind as well. So doing things like using reminders in your phone, making notes on sticky notes, blocking out time in your schedule, getting support for accountability. All these things are useful strategies to help you stay on track when you're trying to like rekindle and even boost motivation. Another way to help you move forward when your motivation is lacking is to do B minus work. And this is so, so hard for me to say as someone who's been in academia and teaching undergraduate health for 12 plus years. It's been even harder for me to put into practice, and I for sure wouldn't be suggesting a B minus effort if I hadn't found it helpful. So doing B minus work is about keeping up momentum, continuing to build a habit, even when your motivation may be tanking. It's doing something, anything to keep going, not stressing that it's not 100% or at that A-plus level. It's about not giving up if your efforts aren't perfect or things aren't right on plan or you're just not feeling fully motivated. This is something I have had to work on for the past month or so out of necessity. Let me reframe that. This is a tactic that I have had the opportunity to try out due to an injury. My family and I went on vacation in December to the Cayman Islands. I was so excited. I'd never been there before, and it really was wonderful. My daughter found this super cool gym near where we were staying. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a little while, you know I've had a goal of building muscle, and I'm finally making visible progress. So I was totally down for going to the gym. So we went to get a workout in, and I wanted to show my daughter this exercise. I had just tried out the week before, and as I reached over the machine, I felt this crunch in my rib cage. It hurt. It was intensely painful. Ended up having to go to the doctor, got x-rays. Turns out I had a pretty bad injury where the cartilage and the rib come together in my rib cage. It was hard to breathe. It was hard to move. There was no twisting, bending, lifting, or anything that was going to happen for a while. So the doctor said, this is going to take 6 to 8 weeks to heal, and just do what you can. You know, walking is okay. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, crap, I can barely get a deep breath in without grimacing. You know, I can't do anything. So at this point, my motivation to really do anything was gone. Like, definitely not any type of physical activity. So I was thinking, if I can't work out like I have been, if I can't do it full tilt, go 100%, like, why bother? It's just not worth it. So this is really my opportunity to shift what progress at that point was going to look like for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And I didn't want to just completely press the pause button if there was something that I could realistically do, even if it was just coast and not lose the progress I'd already made. And so this is where I really had to embrace the idea of imperfect action, not doing my workouts and not doing that 100% A-plus level. I was like, if I do something, you know, it's going to be a B-minus effort. It's going to be a B-minus. The key here is that, you know, I needed to keep up some semblance of a routine that I had built over the past year. I was able to walk, even though I didn't want to, and I don't really enjoy it, but I needed to do these breathing exercises so I didn't get an infection or subsequent issues with my lungs. So I just chose to focus on those. I added a little bit of light stretching when I could, and then every week, you know, as things were healing, I was trying and adding a little bit if it was possible. It wasn't perfection, not even close. But more importantly, it was about not completely giving up the habits and the routines that I had already gotten into. I wasn't able to do the same things, but I was able to do something. And so this B minus effort is going to look different for everyone. For someone with a goal of stressing less by practicing meditation and yoga 3 days a week for 30 minutes, if that's something that seems impossible for a week or two because of a crazy work schedule, like B minus work for someone in that situation could be doing 10 minutes of stretching like in the middle of the day or practicing a 5-minute meditation before going to bed. For someone with a goal of losing weight and they decided they were going to prepare their lunch instead of eating out during the work week, you know, and their motivation was just waning because they were getting bored with eating the same things, to continue with their goal, that B-minus effort could be shooting for 2 to 3 days a week of preparing lunch while researching and finding easy recipes that they like to try to keep boredom from creeping in. Or they could explore getting one of those services that send like prep meals to you each week in a box. So those take less time. There's no grocery store trips. You know, you still have control over the ingredients and the portion sizes. So it's really about creatively thinking, what can I do? What is one small step? So when obstacles are coming up, they're being thrown in your way, your motivation is waning, I invite you to consider, what is one small thing that I can do? What is a way that I can change that's not too big a lift, it's not too heavy a lift, that I can change to just kind of stay in that mindset and continuing to, you know, if not fully move forward, just not go backwards. All right. So in this episode, I have covered a few things that I hope can get you thinking, give you some inspiration, and maybe even some ideas to try. It's really about reconnecting with your why to boost intrinsic motivation, noticing your extrinsic motivators to help get you back on track if needed, embracing imperfect action with that B-minus effort, and noticing and reframing thoughts when your motivation is lessening. I'd love to know if you try any of these and what strategies have worked for you to stay motivated. You can find me on Instagram at Lisa Dupree Coaching. And if you're interested in getting additional support and boosting motivation to achieve your goals, I have a couple of spots opening soon for private one-on-one coaching. Visit lisadupreecoaching.com/services for coaching options and contact links, or you can complete the application for a free strategy session at lisadupreecoaching.com/getcoached. Links will be in the show notes as well. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.